Savior Jesus Christ. I've got a few announcements, but I'll hold them till after the service. We've got a prayer request this morning for Kim Yates. She's having problems breathing, and she's having an asthma attack, I believe is what it is. And they've kept her in the hospital overnight, and she's still in the hospital this morning, and they're not able to release her. So if we could take a few minutes this morning and have a short season of prayer and offer up a prayer for Kim and anyone else you desire to pray for this morning. So would you kneel with me in a season of prayer? Sermon for us. I'm sure he has sought the Lord for the words that he is going to bring to us this morning. So I'd ask that you would keep a prayer in your heart for a brother and give him your ear. For what he has for us today is for our benefit from our Heavenly Father. And so our brother Buzz is a servant of Jesus Christ. He's a servant of this church. And he has it in his heart, our welfare. And so I give to you our brother, Apostle Smith Brickhouse.
Thank you, Brother Rick. It's good to be here this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to read from the book of Moroni. Seventh chapter, starting in verse 50. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he hath not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if you have not charity, you are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever, and whosoever is found possess of it at the last day, it is well with them. Therefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that you may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we may become the sons of God, that he may appear, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. We celebrate this day for mothers, and I'm mindful of the love that the mothers have for their children, and the blessings they are for each one of us, our own mothers, and the love they had for us. And if we look out here in the congregation and see all the mothers and the young and the old ones, and what a blessing they are to each one of us. It's a blessing for me when I see the mothers of all ages with their children and them handling it, reminding me that I need to possess that charity, have that faith, and be that example as the mothers are. My accountant sent me a thing in the email this week. He says, the most job a person can have is the job of being a mother. Mothers must be strong to show us the way. They must be firm should they need arise to teach us how to find our feet without falling again. Mothers must be loving to teach us what love is all about. They must be sympathetic in our times of need, from losing our first pet to our moving away. Mothers must protect us from the harm that we experience, yet not, however, to the extent we never find the courage to stand alone. They must be all these things, for the reliability of the next generation lies upon their capable shoulders. And most of the time, they need to be all these things all at once. Original multitaskers. Firm, loving, faithful, giving their life for their children. You know, I had four kids, and I was my daughter Darrell was dropping one child off with me one day, and she was giving me all these instructions and telling me all these things, and I said, "Darrell, I raised four kids." She said, "I know, Dad. I was one of them." She was worried. She was in fear of leaving her children with her father. We must remember to pray for our mothers daily, that the Lord would direct them, comfort them, the Lord would give them wisdom, patience, that they might be the mothers that they hope and are and want to be. Poem that I got somewhere. My mother kept a garden of the heart. She planted all the good things that gave my life its start. She turned me to the sunshine and encouraged me to dream, fostering and nurturing the seeds of self-esteem. And when the winds and rains came, she protected me enough, but not too much, because she knew I needed to stand up strong and tough. Her constant good example always taught me right from wrong, markers of my pathway that will last a long, long time. I am my mother's garden. I am her legacy. I hope today she feels the love reflected back from me. You know, as we look in the author, that was unknown. I looked back and thought about that and preparing for this sermon. I thought of my mother. We called her Bricky. To my knowledge, my mother had never been in a church. Her parents never went to church. She never had gone there. She sent my sisters and I to a church. I think she heard me preach once when she was, Bob Oldham and I were up there and had traveled either down to Racine or were at Sue's Aunt Pearl. And mother was a good woman. She loved us. She had a lot of patience. She treated us with love. She had compassion. She watched over us. She provided for us. She gave my father honor in his home. She cooked and mended. And she did all those things. She set a good example. She treated people right. She was respectful. She was honest. She was strong. And I'm thankful for her. I was thankful for my mother-in-law, who had a lot of patience with me. Taught me the gospel by how she lived her life and walked it. Her love that she had for me. Her desire to be in a good example, not only for me, but to others. Her teaching that you could get more things done with more bees with honey than you can with vinegar. I'm thankful for my wife, my kids' mom, my mate, my partner, my friend. Lately, she's been my nurse, dedicated to our home and our family, and the spiritual growth within the family. I look at my my kids, and I'm thankful for each one of them, for my daughter and her family, and my daughter-in-laws and them, and how they are raising their kids and the love they have for them. And I pray for them. But I also remember the mothers of this congregation and the congregations of the church, some of the in the church that have been an influence on my life. Sister Gladys Nast, Grandma, her testimonies, just the way she treated everybody and talked to you and kind of corrected you if you're out of place, no matter if you were one of her kids or if you were related to her or not. Sister Frances Yates, Louise McIndoe, Doris Sheldon, and her love for you. Our sister Helen there. My sister and friend Jennifer Oldham. I never knew my grandmothers. My grandmother was a lady that lives next door. Her name is, well, to me it was Mama, Lori Mama, but her last name was Lori, and her actual name was Mita. He had a friend's mother, a kid I grew up with, rough kid. Mother was a little rough for that matter. She was a real sweetheart. She watched over us and made sure we had a place to go at night and could walk into her house at any time of night, and she'd feed you. Boy, if we got out of line or she thought we were getting out of line, we had our ears pulled down. You know, I think of those things, and I think of the blessings of God upon those of us that have had people like that to watch over us, to love us, to correct us and to cuddle us and to be good examples for us that we might live a light, or a life that would bring light to others. You know, and on a little comical side, my sister sent me some things that our mother teach. It says, my mother taught me logic. Because I said it so, that's why. My mother taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about weather. That room of yours looks as if a tornado went through it. My mother taught me hypocrisy, or about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. My mother taught me ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My mother taught me wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. A good one. My mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. When I look at the scriptures, I think of this one here in Proverbs in the 31st chapter. Starting in the 10th verse. And let me get into Proverbs first. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is above all rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no end of spoil, or no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion of her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle can go not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles upon the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue in the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her lands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The blessings of a virtuous wife, or a virtuous woman, or a virtuous mother. Her husband trusts her. She provides for her family. She sacrifices. She's their servant. She's loved by them and cherished by them. And she's blessed. Blessed by the children she has around her, and blessed by her accomplishments. Blessed by the Spirit directing her in all her life. We need to continue to pray for those of our mothers, those with young children, those with old children, those with husbands like me, I guess. Then I think of Mother's Day, you think in the duties of mothers. You also think of the duties of parents. And I'd like to turn to the book of Alma. Seventeenth chapter. And here it's a father talking to a son, giving instruction to him. But sixty-fifth verse. And now, my son, remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not these secret plans unto this people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. A need for us to teach our children about sin, to mortify it, to not have part of it, to not accept it, to not allow it to take over our life, but to repent of it. In iniquities, those sins and those things that are done against the teachings of our Almighty God. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly of heart, for such shall find rest in their soul. It says, oh, remember, my son, learn wisdom in thy youth. Learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God, yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. We need to teach our children that they need to learn wisdom while they're young, because it'll bring them strength when they're older. To learning to keep the commandments of God, and it will be well with them. Learning to come to God and petition Him, crying to God for our support, for their support, the need for them to learn this at a young age. He says, yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and wherewith thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Let thy thoughts be directed into the Lord, yet let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Our children learn that when we do that. We let all our doings be unto the Lord. Wherever thou goest, wherever we are, we're in the Lord. Let it be in the Lord and for the Lord, for his purpose. Let our thoughts be directed unto the Lord. What he would want us to be doing. How he would want us to be acting. What is it? Is it the example that we're setting? What are those things that we're seeking in our lives? Are they the things of the Lord? Do we go to the Lord for counsel, for guidance and direction? Do we quickly pray about things and allow him to direct us in our life? Or do we run off without asking and do our own things the way we think it's to be done without asking for the Lord's counsel? When we lie us down at night, lie down unto the Lord that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God, and if you do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day. How we treat others, how we walk our daily life, how we treat our children, how we respect our spouses, their parents, how we respect the elderly, how we respect our government and people of authority, how we treat the needy, how we pour out our love to those that are in need, are the ways that we teach our children that it will be well with them. And they'll understand and be able to separate themselves from the things of the world. They'll understand the joy that can be experienced by being a child of God versus by being one of the kids on the block and caught up in the things of the world. How we live our life. Reflect back on ourselves and those people in our lives that had great influences for good upon us. And try to use them as an examples. Look within the scriptures for those heroes that we have in the scriptures. And what they did. The faith that they had. The instructions that they gave us. The things that they had overcome by faith and placing their trust in the Lord. And to make those things part of our everyday life, that our children, those around us, our youth, will have us as that witness when they become older and are looking for guidance and are raising their own children. I picked up out of this morning's paper, actually. I guess it's an editorial page or something. I just cut it out. I don't remember where I got it from. Seeking goodness. As I observe the world in my senior years, I see a very disturbing and maybe dangerous trend occurring. Back in civilization's earliest years, there existed a few very intelligent, practical individuals who concluded that humanity needed substantially more control over its behavior. This control was a basic motivation in the formation of all religions. The behavior control directly and indirectly encouraged the establishment of quote-unquote goodness in individuals and group behavior. In today's world, with a disturbing loss of membership in churches and loss of a belief in religion, we have a dangerous increase in violence and disorder. Maybe it is an unavoidable trend, but the end result might be a dying force of goodness, and humanity will suffer. And we see that in our world today. We see the increase of violence disallowance of charity, and aggressiveness, and the things that our society is showing is destructive. Book of Ephesians, 6th chapter. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's how we learn to be obedient. It's how we're blessed. How we have some controls and guidance in our life. God has placed our parents over us because of the experiences of life that they have, that they might guide us and direct us for good. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment. Promise that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on earth. And children, you have out in the congregation, and the Lord's talking to you here. He says, obey your parents, for it's right. The Lord will bless you when you obey your parents, just like he'll bless us when we obey our heavenly parents. You and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train them in the things of the Lord. Love them, hug them, just as the Lord hugs and loves us and is kind but firm. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We're to be good servants. We're to work for our employees. We're to be good examples for our children. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing may God any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is a respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Acknowledge those things that are our life. Let them work within our life. Let our children see us place our faith and our trust in those things from above, not other things of this world. those things that are everlasting. Let's turn a couple pages to Colossians, the third chapter. If you then be risen with Christ, seek these things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, or a strong desire, lust, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So we're to rid those things from our life. In the which ye also walked sometime, when we lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Now, besides doing all those, putting aside all those obvious things that are sins, put off these: anger, that are also sins. Anger and wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth. Lying not one to another, seeing that you have put off that old man with his deeds. Be that new person in Jesus Christ. Skipping down to the 14th verse, I believe is where it was. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, or the bond of completeness. It makes us complete in Jesus Christ. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. That's, you know, we're to compare ourselves and our daily walk in life to these things that are of God for our instructions to find out how we're doing. And I know we do these things, but we need that constant reminder. That's why it tells us to read the Scriptures. That's why it tells us to come together and meet together off, that we might hear these things preached, that we might hear the prayers and the testimonies of our brothers and sisters, that we might have the strength of the body of Christ to be able to fight the wiles of the Satan out in the world. That we might be strong and stay on that path to eternal life. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We're to bring encouragement, lift them up, strengthen them. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord and not unto men. Again, reminding us. Do those things that are right to glorify God in the eyes of those that look at you. That they know who you are and what you stand for. We We have a good example here in the 26th chapter of Alma. Of the teachings of mothers and their effect upon their sons. Starting in the 50th verse. And it says, and it came to pass that again, when the light of the morning came, there was a battle going on. And these 2,000 young men, strapping young men, this is talking about them. It came to pass that again, in the light of the morning, that we saw the Lamanites upon us, and we did flee before them. But it came to pass that they did not pursue us far before they halted. And it was in the morning on the third day on the seventh month. And now whether they were overtaken by Antipas, we knew not. But I said unto my men, behold, we know not, but they have been halted for the purpose that we should come against them, that they may catch us in their snare. Therefore, what say ye, my sons? Will you go against them to battle? And now I say unto you, my beloved brother Moroni, that never had I seen so great courage, nay, not among all the Nephites. For as I had ever called them my sons, for they were all of them very young, even so they said unto me, Father, behold, our God is with us, and we will not suffer. And he will not suffer that we shall fall. Let us go forth. We would not slay our brethren if they would let us alone. Therefore, let us go, lest they should overpower the army of Antipas. Now they never had fought, as yet they did not fear death. And they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, "We do not doubt; our mothers knew." And it came to pass that I did return unto my 2,000. I did return with my 2,000 against these Lamanites who had pursued us. And they went to battle against them. I'm going to skip over to the 94th verse. It said, "But behold, my little band of 2,060 fought most desperately. Yea, they were firm before the Lamanites, and did administer death upon all those who opposed them. And as the remainder of our army were about to give way before the Lamanites, behold, these 2,060 were firm and undaunted. Yea, they did obey and observe to perform every word of command with exactness. Yea, and even according to their faith it was done unto them. And I did remember the words which they said unto me that their mothers had taught them. And now behold, it was these, my sons, those men who had been selected to convey the prisoners to whom we owe this great victory. For it was they who did beat the Lamanites. Therefore they were driven back to the land of Manti." Over at verse 102 and 103. "And now their preservation was astonished to our whole army, yea, that they should be spared while there was 1,000 of our brethren were slain. And we do justly ascribe it to the miraculous power of God because of their exceeding faith in that which they had been taught to believe, that there was a just God. And whosoever did not doubt, but they should be preserved by His miraculous power, or His marvelous power. A tribute to teachings of a parent and young men that follow those teachings in exactness and in a belief, placing their faith and trust in a God that was unchangeable. We, you know, as we look in this world, the society that we live in, we have to be conscious of what's going around and the activities that we have that we get into ourselves and that we place our children in. You know, the world is a violent world. There's a lot of aggression. There's a lot of things that are teaching aggression. Competitiveness. Good, but it can be taken too far. Placing ourselves, it becomes a pride. Being number one becomes something that people feel that you're compelled to do rather than to have love one for another. Our media gives honor to those that are aggressive, those that are winners, those that are punished as some other or whatever the challenges of life. Our society, culture is changing. The morals and the Christian values are being changed and challenged every day in their schools and on the news. And we need to teach our children to be peaceful. We need to teach our children to have faith. We need to teach our children to dress modestly, to be chaste, to present Jesus Christ in all the things that we do, and how we dress, what we wear, our swimming attire, whatever it might be that we bring forth, those things that God would like us to bring forth, that we show that we're different, that we are following the commandments with exactness, that He might bless us in the battles that we're at. We need to do the right things, not everything. You know, we are caught up in a society where they believe that we have to do everything for our children and they have to be in all these things, and it brings them much stress. And they don't bring eternal life necessarily. We have to be doing those few precious things that are the right things, that are the things of God that will give them strength throughout their life, being obedient, having charity, and a love for one for another, for their parents, for their children, for their friends, for those around them, a great care one for another. We need to have time together as family, time in our house, and togetherness, time in family activities, a time in the house of God and godly activities, tending to the things of the needs for each other. We're to seek the things above, not on earth. Romans, the 13th chapter, says, "No, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For thus thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this mere saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, but not in strife and envy. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill their love thereof. Yesterday, I know some of you were at the service for Chase Pennington. We saw a lot of teenagers there. There were hundreds of them. They had a hard time seeing one of their friends laying there. I read a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. I'm going to read it. God, here I am, and it's a teenager's prayer. God, here I am in a chaotic state, seeking some way to do something great. I want to be someone who contributes to make a less violent world for everyone else. But who can I go to, and who can I trust? Who will show me the difference between love and lust? I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make the world new. But in the confusion and the noise all around, where can the answer to my questions or my question be found? Dear God in heaven, hear a teenager's plea. Show me somewhere what you want me to be. And you know, we can reflect back when we were teenagers in that age, 1920, in that age, having those same thoughts. And we can look at that and know that, you know, that where to go and who can do it, and how they know where to go and who to talk to or what to do, that's our responsibility. Our kids are crying out in their own little ways, especially when they're teenagers, trying to make the decisions of life. Part of our job as parents is to prepare them for those times, to lead them to those paths, to those outlets that will bring them eternal life, by expressing it in our life, by teaching them the basic principles of the gospel, by being good examples, by being instant in prayer and constant and obedient to the teachings, by showing our love to them, by having tough love for them at times, and that they might know that they always have a Father in heaven to go to for the strength and guidance and direction in their life. So I hope that as we celebrate this today, this Mother's Day, we'll remember and praise God and give thanks for those mothers that we have had, that we might be good parents, that we might remember the mothers of today and their awesome responsibility in the home, in the life of their children, that they might be blessed, that their Lord's Spirit might be with them, that we might be able to endure this time, and we might bring to our children the hope that we have in the resurrection, eternal life. Thank you.